things I did on Snow White program. That was to get all government files on the subject of Scientology so that PR could go in and do false report corrections on those files. The methods used to obtain files, I know one of my juniors had a suitable guise that he had made where he was able to obtain some government files legally, because a suitable guise is legal. It's their problem if they give it to you, right? He got some Justice Department files with a suitable guise. He was doing a anti-Scientology movie, and some people did turn over their files to him. However, not everybody fell for that particular suitable guise, and a lot of government agencies says, well, get out of here with your movie, we're not interested. You know, so they didn't give them their files. One of the people who wouldn't turn over their files was the Yolo County District Attorney's Office. Justice Department in the Attorney General's Office in Sacramento. CINI files, which is Criminal Intelligence Investigation. People like that, you know, they just wouldn't turn over their files. So we had to all resort to some other methods to obtain those files. In the case of the Yolo County DA, his name was Roger Brown at the time. The way we got into his files was at night. Well, actually, I took my right-hand man with me, had him go inside the office while they were still open, go into the ladies' bathroom, and hide in there. So everybody left that day at 5 as usual. Locked up their doors and windows and so forth, but my guy was in the bathroom. So after we knew they were all gone, he opened the back window to the ladies' bathroom. I crawled through. We had lock picks. We got into their locked file cabinets, got out the Scientology files, and copied them all on their copier. Wow. And crawled out the window and left. That was how we got those files. In the case of the Attorney General's office for the state of California, we just went in there after hours. We got in, I think that was another case of we just hid in the building until everybody left. The janitors came in. That made it a kind of an exciting moment. We were trying to hide from the janitors.
Oh my God.
But that was another case of lock picks is how we got them. You know, got into their file cabinets and copied their files. I did another one where they sent me to get the files of the World Federation for Mental Health. The headquarters for the World Federation of Mental Health was in the Caribbean at the time. I think it was Grenada or one of those countries down there. I was sent down there under the instructions that I was to obtain those files and do not come back without them, you know. And I thought that that meant that I would be expelled if I did come back without them. They said, use whatever means you have to. We don't care if you have to break and enter. We don't care if you have to use a sledgehammer. Whatever you got to do, bring those files back here. Well, we always tried suitable guises first, you know, and we only resorted to breaking and entering if those didn't work. I had another missionary with me who had a suitable guise of being a Time magazine reporter. We had built a complete identity for him that he was, in fact, a Time magazine reporter. So we go down there. I was the backup, and I was to do the B&E or whatever it took to get him if he failed to get him.
B&E.
Breaking and entering. Illegal method of entering a building. So we went down to the Caribbean. He used his suitable guise on whoever was there. I was not with him. I was waiting outside. The place was incredibly fortified. Guards walking around, armed guards with police dogs and that kind of a thing. And I'm going, yeah, and I got to come back with these or else, right?
And what'd you do? And what'd you do?
It turned out he goes in with the suitable guys. He finds out that they are just in the process of moving the headquarters from there to Canada, and that the files weren't there. And so he told me that, and I went, "Oh, wow! I'm glad they're not here." I just see them need in some foreign country, right in jail, or some dog gnawing my ankle off, you know, trying to get those files. So we reported that back and said they moved the headquarters to Canada. The files are up there. They said, "Okay, you're on your way to Canada," which we did. We went to Canada. It was Christmas time, and nobody was there. There was nobody to do a suitable guys on. Everybody was on Christmas vacation. It was a hospital, a mental hospital. So we tried to talk the receptionist of the building into letting us into the office where the World Federation for Mental Health headquarters was. And we actually succeeded at that. The plan that we devised was that we were going to leave a Christmas present for the president of the Federation. Since he wasn't available for us to hand deliver it, we said, "Can you let us in his office? We'll put the present on his table, and then we'll leave." Okay, well, she agreed to that. My partner went in, he put the present on the table. While she was going in and letting him do that, I got a piece of tape behind me, right? And I taped the door, you know, so that when you shut the door, the latch doesn't close, right?
Watergate,
right. So that's how we got in that office. As it turned out in that case, the files were en route between the two. They actually weren't there. So we took some other stuff, you know, about how they were electric shocking people, or, oh, it was something about a report on Russian electric shock and blah, blah, blah. We got whatever they had. We got back and said, told them, you know, that as it turned out, the files were in transit. They weren't at either location at this point in time. We didn't get in any trouble for it. You know, it was like, I guess they fired another mission later to do it. The way we got the files out of the health department files on Scientology was we went in the building after hours. We had to work around the cleaning people every day in that particular situation. We posed as employees of the health department in that situation, and we'd sit at desks and pretend like we were working while they did their cleaning.
How'd you get in?
At the time, their security was pretty poor. We didn't have to use the lockpick or anything. We went in when the building was open, right? They would, I had an agent in there. Not that I recruited her and sent her in. She was already working there. She was a Scientologist who had a job there already, and I found out about that. So it wasn't a matter of how did we get in. It was how did we get out, see, in that case. So we would get in while they were still open. They would lock the doors. We were locked inside. But when we were done with our nightly dirty work, right, I would call her on the phone, "Come down here and lock the door for us." And that's how we got out. Okay. So one night I went to me and my partner were upstairs copying files. I went to go down out of the building for some reason. And there was a trap. They had done something. I guess we'd taken a break for a month or so or something, went back to get some more. And they had done something. They'd built a double door system, right, to exit the building. It's one of these glass cage things, you know, where I walked through the first door and that closed behind me and locked, right? And I couldn't get out the next door, which was also locked, so I'm locked inside this cubicle.
Right.
Okay.
Got you.
And the camera's on me, and the guy's talking to me. I said, "What are you doing in the building?" Right? Yeah.
Think on your feet.
I had to totally think on my feet because I wasn't planning for this event, right? And so I said, "Well, my girlfriend works here, and I was sitting in the lobby over there, waiting for her to get off work. I thought she was working overtime. You know, I just came to the conclusion, I guess she must have left and I didn't see her. And so now I'm just trying to get out of the damn building, right? And he bought it. And he buzzed me out. He says, okay, buzz me out, right? So I got out, but my partner's trapped up there. But fortunately, we had this girl that was a Scientologist that worked there. I called her up and I said, my partner's stuck up there. Come get him out of there, which she did. She had the proper ID. She walked in. The guy that was the guard, here's my ID, lets her in the building. She escorts the guy out, and that's how we got out that night. You could have told people who were in Scientology or people in the world that what the GO was doing. Let's say the GO had a defector, and so one of us guys like me walked out and said, this is what we're doing. Nobody would have believed it. Okay? Same holds true for today. You try to go tell people who are other Scientologists or people in the normal society, this is what RTC is doing today, and they won't believe it. Okay? So, but the GO raid happened, right? And the person who would have been saying that back at the time would have been totally vindicated that he was telling the truth by the fact of that FBI raid, walking out of there with box loads of evidence that this was the daily work of these people, okay? Mm-hmm. The person who decided to, you know, be brave enough to come out and tell everybody what was going on in there all of a sudden becomes believable because of the box loads of evidence that the FBI walked out with. At that point, it was undeniable. There was no way for those people to get out of it. They had all the evidence they needed for a conviction. The same situation exists today. They've got a few individuals that are coming out of RTC, OSA area, saying this is what's going on. I highly recommend you believe what they're telling you, even if they don't have documented proof in their hand. Maybe we ought to have another raid, and you'll have plenty of documented proof. When that raid happened, I was working in San Francisco. We got news that the FBI was raiding down there. Prior to that raid happening, we just wrote reports because we were autonomous. Nobody could come into the Guardian's office and look at what we were doing. And we just wrote it the way it was. You know, it was like, hi, this is Mike. Today I did 16 black ops, spied on this, lockpicked that. You know, we just said it however it was. There was no effort to encode anything or anything. It's just, you know, reported it straight the way it happened. So what the FBI got was, you know, just the most damaging evidence you could imagine. We knew the cat was out of the bag and there was really no hope. This phone call I got was that they were raiding the files down there, and I knew what that meant was that, you know, and there was a potential for a raid on every Guardian's office around the world at the time, and so I was told to get the heck out of there. What we did was went out and rented a U-Haul type truck, rider type truck, a huge one. We took all of our intelligence files out, put them in the back of that truck and left, you know, drove a couple states away or something like that. We operated out of the back of that thing for a while. After the raid, we got instructions to go through all of our files one by one, every page, and just take a razor blade and hack out of there anything that was incriminating.
Now, what particularly were you told to hack out?
Down in L.A., I think they were told to get rid of any documents that showed that Ron was running Scientology in any fashion. We didn't have that problem in San Francisco, so that wasn't one of our orders. Ron didn't issue any orders to us directly. Mm. You know what I mean? We got all of our orders from USGO. Even if they came from him, they still came to us via USGO.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they didn't say they were his order. So, you know, we just spent a while, you know, just cutting out, you know, all this criminal stuff, and in some cases, it was the whole damn file. The whole damn file's criminal. Just throw that whole file out of here. You know, they did their grand jury things. You know, they indicted the people they wanted to indict. I didn't happen to be one of them. I could have been one of them, but that, you know, the majority of us, for whatever reason, I still don't know to this day, they let us off the hook. Anyway, I didn't complain about that. I was happy. And on the day the statute of limitations ran out, you know, I had a little party.